In case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
Over the weekend, my mother is down at the moment, and Eden, my partner and daughter, Esther, all went out. Big family trip out to Lucas, the display homes out at Lucas, and had a look around to see, it's great. Those display homes, they're just fantastic. You go through and you just feel like you're living a whole different life when you you walk around a display home as if you've got money is no object. You walk around a display home as if you can have anything that your heart desires and money is no object. And you are just the grand architect that can build any home that you want to. Anyway, we were walking around the display homes out at Lucas, and we went into one of them. I think it was Toomey Homes. I want to say it's Toomey Homes, display homes, and ran into Josh, who used to work at Subaru, who actually sold me my Forester. Great guy, Josh. Shout out to Josh. He sold me my Forester. Very happy with the Forester. Thank you for that, Josh. And he doesn't work at Subaru anymore. He now works for Toomey Homes. I think it's Toomey Homes. I'm pretty sure. Apologies if it's not. But we walked into the display home and he was there. He said, "Oh, Josh." And I went, "Yes." And he goes, "Oh, I'm Josh. I sold you Subaru." I went, "Oh, how's it going? How are you?" And he points out the window and he goes, Do you recognize anything out there?" And I go, "No." He goes, "What's that white car over there?" And I go, "Is that my old Corolla that I traded in to get the Subaru?" And he goes, "Yeah, I bought it." And I was like, "Okay, right, okay. Well, that's so weird, so bizarre, because I was not expecting that at all." He said, "Oh, I saw that come in. I saw that get traded in. I thought, yeah, that'll do me. I'll have that." So he's got my old Corolla. And as we walked out of the display home and walked past the Corolla, I just looked at the Corolla and I was like, "That's my first car. That was the car that I learnt to drive in. That was the car that I took my girlfriend out on our first date, my first girlfriend on our first date. It's the car that I got many speeding fines around Mount Panorama in Bathurst. That car has been a lot of places, and to see it there, I haven't had it for a few months now, and to see it there was just a bit of a blast from the past. And I wasn't really expecting, I definitely wasn't expecting to ever see that car again, but I did, and I'm glad I did. It looks like it's in good shape, Josh. You're taking good care of it, and hope it does you well. Hope it lasts you a very, very long time. My mum is down from New South Wales, not from Sydney. Don't worry, not from Sydney. Everything's okay. She's fine. She's from Coffs Harbour. I don't think they've ever had a COVID case up there at all, really. But she's down at the moment. And because I don't get to see my mum very often, the conversations that my mother and I have are much more interesting. It's not just, day-to-day stuff. It's just a couple more layers deep of conversation. And the other day, while we were taking the dog for a walk, Eden and myself, we took Esther, my daughter, for a walk, and Mum was there as well. We spoke about, the past, what she was like when she was younger. And we were walking around the Newington area, I smelt something funny. Okay, I had a weird little smell. It was something a little bit funky. Something that was maybe illicit. I don't know. I don't want to say anything. Maybe a little bit weedy. Devil's lettuce, some grass. I don't know. I smelt something and it got us onto a conversation. I was like, "Mum, have you ever smoked the devil's lettuce? What's going on?" She's like, "Ah, yes. Yeah, I've tried it before when I was much, much younger. Yes, yeah, I lived with some boys who used to do it all the time." I went, I was shocked. I've never had a conversation with my mother about this sort of thing, and she's just come out and admitted it to me straight away that she's tried the devil's lettuce a few times back when she was younger. I mean, you all assume that your parents have had a life before you, and you know that, but your parents, all you know them as are your parents. You think of them as these people who, are mature and they've never made a mistake and they've, got it all together. But my mum, turns out my mother was a little bit of a rebel back in the day. She used to smoke the devil's lettuce, and that's fine. you know what? That's fine. Don't worry. I'm not advocating for it. I'm not against it. Who knows? Okay. Social media day today. All of us. If you don't have social media, do you even exist? Is kind of the rhetoric nowadays. But we've got a few social media stars in our local area. One of them, obviously, Tim Bone on MasterChef. He does a lot of great stuff on Instagram. And Celia Gerkovic.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me in.
It's very exciting stuff. Eden, my girlfriend, my partner, has been following you for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves your balloon videos.
Yeah.
She loves just everything you put up. And it's been a relatively kind of short rise, but it started as trying to do something else, didn't it?
Yeah, so last year when the first lockdown happened, I obviously couldn't work. So my balloon business closed. I have another few things that also couldn't work. And I was so bored, and I've always wanted to do YouTube. So I finally had downtime, so decided to start a YouTube channel. And to one of the requirements to get monetized on YouTube is hitting a subscribers number and hitting a watch time hour. And I was like, how am I ever going to reach that? Yeah. And I'd heard so many people talk about how TikTok's unsaturated. I follow Gary Vee. He kept saying, if you're wanting to build a personal brand, if you're wanting to build up your business, get on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I did, and I started, and it was very slow, though. Like I think I was saying to you earlier, this time last year, I would have had less than, I think, 2,000 followers.
Yeah,
I have a screenshot in my phone from August, and I think I had, August 2020, and I had 3,000 followers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I had a viral video. My first viral video, I think, got to, 300,000, and I thought,
oh, wow,
this is great. This is unreal. Yeah. But at the same time, the numbers weren't a big thing for me. I was just trying to fill in my time, so I loved creating the content.
Yeah.
I think my top video has had almost 18 million views or
something. That's insane. Is that a balloon video?
Yeah, so it was me making up a gender reveal. So this was in, I think, the second lockdown or in between lockdowns when we were allowed to work.
Yeah.
We do a lot of gender reveal balloons, the big, big surprise balloons.
Yeah,
and you pop them and
it's
so exciting, especially ones when the parents don't know what they're having. And it was a video that I never thought would go viral. It was really quick. All my stuff's really quickly filmed. I don't sit down and plan out content at all. And we made a gender reveal balloon and it went crazy, absolutely crazy.
People love that stuff.
Yeah.
There's gender reveal videos
all
over Facebook and Instagram. They just love it.
And I think the key is too, I know there's a lot of people that will spend ages perfecting a video and then something you can whip up in 3 seconds will do 10 times better.
Yeah.
I made one where I was filling up an ice tray and I had 200,000 views. The most stupidest stuff can go viral and I just
People love it, don't they?
Yeah.
You've recently hit 1 million followers on TikTok, which is a massive achievement.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
Did you ever think you'd get to 1 million?
No, every time, as I was saying to you before too, I've got screenshots in my phone because when you have a viral video, you obviously get an influx of followers. But the key is to keep putting content out.
Yeah.
So I'd be waking up every morning and there'd be a new 20,000. I reckon one day it jumped 100,000 and I was like,
wow,
what is happening? But every time I hit a milestone, I've sort of done giveaways on my platform on TikTok and sent them worldwide. I've sent stuff to South Africa, to America, the UK, everything for these giveaways. So I don't really notice it. I get a lot of comments from people being like, you're so close to the next milestone. When's the next giveaway going to be sort of thing?
When's the next? You're Ellen.
Yeah. You get a car.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good. I love it. I really enjoy the platform. I would never have picked within this time frame that I'd be sitting at 1 million followers on a social media platform. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking before about where your viewers are mainly from. What's the breakdown of that?
Yeah, so in TikTok, if you have a creator account, you can see all of your analytics. So I think 49% of my following is US. And I think Australia sits third in line. So I think it's US is 49. I think the UK is next with 12 or 11%. And then Australia's under that with 12 or 11 as well.
Right,
and then
okay.
It's, yeah, all over the place. So
you're big in the US?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And we were also talking before on air. We had a good combo before. You get recognised sometimes.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. In my head, when I put stuff out on TikTok, no one in my hometown sees.
Right,
if anything, maybe
just send it away.
Send it away. Instagram's very different, but for TikTok, I don't think that anyone sees my stuff. So as soon as someone, even someone that I know, will be like, "Oh, I saw that video," and I'm like, did you?
Like, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been, yeah, it's the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing.
On a lesser scale, but whenever I do videos for the station here, it's on a much lesser scale, trust me. People come up, it is a weird feeling for someone that you don't know to come up to you and go, I saw that video, that was funny, or I liked that. It's just a bizarre feeling. Anyway, you do have a balloon business, which I'm assuming is back up and running with, you know, the restrictions easing.
Yeah, so I own Bespoke Balloons Ballarat, and I think any business that's been in the events industry has absolutely gone through the ringer the last 18 months. But yeah, no, things are picking back up. We do a lot of things. We don't just do the gender reveal balloons. I get questions all the time on TikTok because the gender reveal balloons, you're usually picking out a pink or a blue confetti. People are like, what's the green and the yellow for? And we have everything. Like
We have other colours.
We have other colours. We do like big gender, we do the gender reveals, but we also do like big installations, garlands, we've got flower walls, everything. So things are picking back up, which is good. I wouldn't say we're back to like pre-COVID times, but we're slowly getting there. I think, the last lockdown was a bit of a surprise. Usually when a lockdown happens, it halts every booking, and then in the future people aren't booking stuff in because they're hesitant around dates.
Yeah.
But we're getting booked out really quickly. Like, we've got a few dates in the next month that we won't be able to take on extra work. So it's good, awesome. Which is good. It's just not future bookings, like future, like way down the track.
But yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're getting back to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just so psyched. I love, like, when stuff in Ballarat, like people in Ballarat do, like, make a mark. Like on social media,
and that's
it's
what
weird.
People have said. Like, it's weird to see someone from Ballarat be big on a social media platform. But
there's
a few other people in Ballarat too. Shelby, like, I don't know if you've seen Shelby with the ceramic stuff. Her like content's incredible as well. So very nice to see some regional people being big on social media.
Give yourself a plug. Where can people find you if people don't know who you are?
Yeah, so I probably should have aligned it the same, but my Instagram, Celia_Gerkovich, and my TikTok, Celia_Gerkovich. So,
thank you. Just a little grammatical difference there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in and having
a
chat.
Thank you for having me.
You know the whiteboard in our office.
Yes.
It gets dirty, really.
It's where the creative juices flow.
That's right. We're a whiteboard workplace, weren't we? All the ideas go up on the whiteboard. It gets dirty very quickly, though, and very easily. So I thought yesterday what I would do is I was thinking of ideas. I thought, I'll take a break, clean the whiteboard. Got the whiteboard spray.
Oh, you do love to clean that.
I do love to clean the whiteboard. no, it's a weird thing.
It's not weird.
Got the whiteboard spray, wiped down the whole whiteboard. The whiteboard spray doesn't really do the job. So I thought, I need something a little heavy duty here.
Stronger.
Something stronger. So I went next door into Engineer Dave, Party Dave's office.
Yep.
Got some methylated spirits.
Oh, yeah. It's not a very ventilated room.
No. And you'll soon see why. I put some in a towel,
wiped down the
board, and I thought I used a sufficient amount. I didn't think I overused. I didn't think I underused. Yep. I thought I used a sufficient amount of metho. I was like, great. Whiteboard's spotless. Sat back down at my desk, was doing some work. About 10, 15 minutes later, the computer screen started like moving without moving. My eye, I could see moving.
Like a magic eye.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like kaleidoscopy, but kind of wavy. And I was like, oh, gosh, have I been sitting at this computer too long? And I walked out of the room, went to get some water. And as soon as I left the room, I thought, oh, this air's at him is much like lighter. It's lighter air.
Yeah.
And I walked back into the office, and then that's when the metho smell hit me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you're meant to use that stuff in highly ventilated places.
Oh my god! I think I'm high at work because I put metho on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Any creative juices flowing though?
Not at all. Not at all. It wasn't like do-do-do-do-do, you know, like rainbows coming out of my brain.
Nothing like that.
It was nothing like that, you know, and I got no work done. And you know why?
So no different to any other day.
excuse me. I get mild amounts of work done.
Okay.
I got no work done. And you want to know why?
Why? Because I got high. Because I got high. Oh, yeah. Because I got high. Methylated spirits. Stick to the whiteboard cleaner next time, buddy.
I will. We all make questionable decisions from time to time. One of them is going shopping while you're hungry. It's part of being human. Just last weekend, I went shopping while I was hungry, and I bought a lot of stuff that I didn't need, okay? And there's a few things that you should do every time you are going to go shopping, okay? One, eat before you go. Eat before you go, okay? There's been a list. There's been a kind of step-by-step process of what you need to do when you go shopping, okay? Because some of us need help, okay? Before I had kids, before I was in a relationship, I was living the bachelor life. I had no direction when it came to shopping, grocery shopping. I would just go and I was like on a mission from God. Wherever my thoughts would take me, that is where I went in the shopping center, okay? So there's a few things you need to do, okay? Make a grocery list, number one, okay? Just do it already. A grocery list is going to save you a lot of time in store, a lot of money, and it's going to save you from the temptations of the confectionery aisle, okay? That's number one. Stick to a routine. Number two, stick to a routine. Life is just easier when you've got some semblance of structure or routine. Pick a day, any day, make it your grocery shop day. Personally, my family used to do it on a Saturday, but Maddie was talking to me the other day about how on, I think it was Tuesdays or Wednesdays in Woolworths, they mark everything down. That's the specials day. So pick a day and go ahead, okay? Set goals. Instead of going in with a vague aim of eating healthy, actually plan it out, which you can do on your grocery list, okay? Aim to up the intake of fruit and vegetables and start in that aisle, okay? Number four, grab a healthy snack on the go. If you find yourself hitting up the grocery store on an empty stomach for whatever reason, you shouldn't, but for whatever reason, try to grab a healthy snack before you leave the door. Banana, handful of nuts, a protein shake, a nut bar, whatever you want, okay? Okay, those are the five. So what you got to do is recap, okay? Make a grocery list, number one. Number two, stick to a routine. Number three, set goals. Number four, grab a healthy snack on the go so that you don't look at things and go, I could have that right now. Put it in your shopping trolley and then waste a whole heap of money, okay? Thank you. You can thank me later about all of these grocery shopping hacks, okay? We love a good wedding story here on the Josh and Maddie Brekkie Show.
Yeah.
They get quite controversial because weddings are a big deal for a lot of people.
Yes, they are.
Obviously, the bride, the families, obviously.
Often the biggest day of your life.
Exactly. And a lot of people want to make that day very special for the bride and for the guests as well, because it's a celebration of a couple's love, you know. A bride and groom have done something to save a bit of money. Now, we all want to, you know, a lot of people love to go all out at a wedding.
Oh, that can be very expensive. I think the average Australian wedding is now about $38,000.
Oh, see, that's insane. That's a car or, you know, a house deposit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are trying to save money with the weddings, you know, cutting down the amount of people or going to a different venue or anything like that. This bride and groom have made their guests wash up at the wedding reception after blowing the budget on the venue.
What? Hang on. How does this work? Is it like the case of at the end of the night when you've gone to a restaurant, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have money. And they go, right out, get out the back.
Yeah,
time
maybe.
To wash some dishes. Is that how this has worked out? Or was this an agreement they already had before?
I have no idea. A guest at the wedding has revealed that the unbelievable moment she was expected to help wash dishes at the bride and groom's reception in an effort to save money. The American woman, this is in America, said that the bride, who is a relative and groom, had severely overspent on their wedding location and dress and were therefore forced to make cutbacks. So I'm assuming this was just an on the day, hey guys, by the way, can you wash up your cutlery and plates?
Is that
acceptable? Is that acceptable at a wedding?
I would say it would be if you'd already pre-warned the guests.
Yeah.
You may be required to help out with a bit of the tidy up at the end of the night.
And it also depends on the setting.
Yeah, and if you knew the couple really well.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, yeah, I know the situation. That's fine. But, like, you can't expect Grandma Pearl after she's...
Because all she's had is bread.
Yeah, she hasn't had a great time. Like, she's wonderful, excited to be there, to go up out the back and start washing up at the end of the night.
I can imagine it being kind of acceptable in some settings, like, oh, my gosh, my watch is going off.
That's funny.
That's so awkward. stop. I can imagine it being acceptable in some settings, For example, if it's like 100 people in maybe like an outback wedding in a shed, they're all just like really close friends and family.
Yes.
And then at the end of the night, they, you know, maybe it's like plastic cutlery and plastic plates, but like the hard kind of camping plates.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can imagine that being like a bit of a fun family bonding moment. But
if you're at a ritzy restaurant or venue.
Exactly.
It's a bit odd.
Some guests were ushered into the kitchen after the meal to help wash the dishes, as there were no staff on hand to clean plates, glasses and cutlery. So I'm assuming they had chefs there to actually cook the meal, but they wouldn't pay for any additional staff.
I also wouldn't want, after your guests have had a wonderful time drinking up a storm, I wouldn't want them handling all the plates.
No, not at all.
And the glasses. Like, how many broken glasses are you going to end up with at the end of the night?
Yeah, that's right. So I think we can both agree that it's just a no. I think it's a no.
It's awkward.
It's awkward.
Maybe just have a smaller guest list next time so you don't blow the budget.
And let them know.
Yes.
Yeah. Honeymoons are a great part of the whole wedding ceremony. You're starting your life with someone special. You think you're going to be together forever. Doesn't always end up like that. Sorry to burst your bubble. I really am. Really am sorry to burst your bubble. There's a story that's come out about a couple who thought they were all good. Catherine and Tim's wedding day. They had their wedding day. They decided to hold off on the honeymoon a little bit. Okay, after 5 years, they'd bought their house. They'd got some savings. And they decided it was time to book a holiday before it became too difficult with two children. They then decided, they finally booked a hotel. Catherine then had to wait a little while so she'd get time off work. So they booked the hotel for the time that they could get she could get time off work, okay? She came home from work one day and her husband, Tim, was at home. And she was very excited because she just booked this hotel that she'd really wanted, and it just happened to be in the time that she was available. And Tim, instead of joining her in excitement in the booking of the final part of their dream honeymoon, he told her that he was leaving her and he wanted a divorce. This came out of nowhere for Catherine. Catherine was distraught. She'd gone from planning a honeymoon and family to sleeping back at her parents' house in the same double bed she slept in as a child. She couldn't make sense of any of it. Neither could those closest to her, okay? To make matters worse, things started to feel strange among her friends. She had a tight-knit group of friends with a wider group of friends who she used to see quite regularly. She noticed that on social media there were a lot of events happening that she wasn't being invited to. By now, it was only a month after the split and she wasn't sleeping well. She was just really focused on putting one foot in front of the other each day. She'd figured out she probably wasn't the best company at the moment, so she just wanted to find out what was going on. After a little while of this, she wanted to find out what was going on. She put a little investigative work, a little investigative hat on. So she fired off a text to her friend who came back suggesting that she come over for breakfast in the morning. When she got there, there were two other friends there. And one of her closest friends, Gemma, told her that another one of her friends, who is also called Gemma, someone Gemma went to uni with, not same Gemma, someone that went to uni with Gemma appeared to be in a relationship with Tim. What? She was blown away. It was a friend she knew pretty well. She'd been to her 21st, she'd been to her 30th. She was a bridesmaid at her wedding. They caught up for coffee. She went to her wedding, obviously, but Gemma went on to tell her as gently as possible that she'd been out with that friend the night before. They'd invited her to a 30th, and at some point Tim turned up, and obviously they couldn't keep it a secret very well, and she said that her and Tim were seeing each other. Catherine couldn't believe it. She tried calling the friend and Tim, but no one picked up. She kept trying. Then one day, she did something very out of character. She went to this friend's workplace and confronted her about her relationship with her ex-partner, Tim. but the friend wasn't there. Okay. She then saw on social media a post up of the woman at this hotel that Catherine had booked for her honeymoon, and a man in the photo that looked a lot like Tim. After calling around some mutual friends, they discovered that, yes, Tim had gone on the honeymoon with his new girlfriend that Catherine had prepared. Oh my gosh. Are you serious? That's insane. When they got home from the honeymoon, the new couple told everyone that they'd only started their relationship after the marriage came to an end, that she just happened to have a few weeks booked off work, so they decided to go on the holiday. Are you kidding me? Honestly, that's insane. That's crazy. Okay, imagine deciding that you're going to go on a honeymoon, breaking up from that person, then taking someone else on that honeymoon. How would you feel as the bride? You'd feel pretty... I mean, there's no nice way to put it. You'd be pissed off. I'd be pissed off as well.
Well, that's it. Another podcast over. You can tune in to Josh and Maddie live weekdays from 6 on Power FM Ballarat.